kind of available diagnostic and treatment tools, globally, tuberculosis accounts for more than 8 million cases per year and 1.6 million deaths, making it a leading killer of young adults. The emergence of extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis threatens to return us to the pre-antibiotic era, with some patients rendered virtually incurable with available drugs. Let's start with a review of basic definitions. Initial, or sometimes called primary, drug resistance is when a tuberculosis patient's initial Mycobacterium tuberculosis isolate is resistant to drugs. This is usually the result of someone becoming infected with a drug-resistant strain from another person who has drug-resistant tuberculosis in the respiratory system. Depicted here, the person on the left would be the person with active TB, and the person on the right-hand side would be the susceptible host. Acquired drug resistance is when spontaneously occurring bacterial mutations conferring drug resistance are selected by inappropriate drug regimen or interruptions in therapy. Damn technology, huh? The multi-drug resistant tuberculosis isolates are resistant to at least isoniazid and rifampin, the two most potent first-line drugs against tuberculosis. Extensively drug-resistant TB are a subset of MDR-TB strains with additional resistance to a fluoroquinolone and a second-line injectable drug such as amikacin, kanamycin, or capreomycin. Well, the anecdotal descriptions of virtually untreatable tuberculosis, this has a mind of its own, so bear with us, please. Anecdotal descriptions extensively drug-resistant TB started in 2005 when persons who were treating individuals with multi-drug-resistant TB were describing patients who had additional or extensive patterns of drug resistance. That prompted a global survey, that consisted of 17,690 isolates submitted to the World Health Organization Supranational Reference Laboratories. These were collected between 2000 and 2004. The findings are shown here. 20% of isolates had MDR-TB, and 347, or 2%, had extensively drug-resistant TB. Very importantly, in the survey, XDR-TB was detected in all regions of the world where it was tested for, although it was more common in former Soviet Union countries and in Asia, especially the Republic of Korea. The frequency of XDR-TB was not established because a representative denominator was not available to us. This is a sample of convenience, a reminder to you. Next one, please. Thank you. During the 2006 conference on retroviruses and opportunistic infections, one report gained much publicity. It described the results of an integrated TB and HIV management study in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. Among 119 patients, there were 14 deaths. Of those, 10 had multi-drug-resistant TB, and 6 had resistance to all drugs tested, which included isoniazid, rifampin, ethambutol, and streptomycin, as well as kanamycin and cipro. The authors set out to evaluate the presence of XDR-TB in this hospital. Over the next year, they evaluated 1,539 samples obtained from persons suspected with tuberculosis. as you'll see to the left of that algorithm, 544 or 35% were culture positive for Mycobacterium tuberculosis, and 221 or 41% of culture positive isolates had multi-drug resistant TB. Of these, 53 or 10% had extensively drug resistant tuberculosis. When we look at the patient characteristics, this keeps moving always in the wrong direction, so I don't know what's going on. Well, patient characteristics reveal that 47 of these 53 persons with XDR-TB had information about prior treatment. Of these, 26 or 55% were not previously treated. 28 or 67% had been hospitalized within the 2 years prior to their diagnosis. Of 44 persons tested for HIV, all were positive. I understand from the authors of that study that they suspect all 53 were HIV infected. Please note that 52 of the 53 or 98% died, including one-third of persons on effective antiretroviral therapy and undetectable HIV. Of the 46 isolates, genotype 39 or 85% had identical oligotype, suggesting a common chain of transmission. For many of us, this is reminiscent of what we saw in the United States and New York and Florida in the late 80s and early 90s. And in the next slide, we have summarized nine selected outbreaks where CDC assisted the local health departments during investigations between 1988 and 1992. In each of these, several persons were identified with disease caused by multi-drug resistant tuberculosis. Except for Hospital E, where 14% had HIV infection, percent of HIV infected ranged from 82 to 100%. Mortality ranged from 43 to 93%, and median time from diagnosis to death ranged from 4 to 16 weeks. During this time period, clusters of multi-drug resistant TB were reported from 15 institutions, including 14 hospitals. And the investigations implicated nosocomial transmission in most of these places. And MDR-TB was seen in almost 300 persons, including 20 healthcare workers. In response to that public health crisis, our nation developed a national action plan to combat multi-drug resistant TB and mobilized new resources to improve case detection and adherence to TB therapy by relying on directly observed therapy. We also strengthened treatment recommendations and training in healthcare workers, built lab capacity for real-time drug susceptibility testing, and implemented infection control precautions to prevent transmission in congregate settings. From 1992 through 2006, TB incidence decreased by 48%, with 13,779 cases reported in 2006. Among culture-positive TB cases, primary multi-drug resistant TB has decreased from 400 or 2.4% in 1993 to 91 or 1% in 2006. Now, when we look at the situation of extensively drug resistant tuberculosis in the United States, we have identified 48 persons with XDR between 1993 and 2006, with 16 reported from New York City, 8 in New York State, 11 in California, and fewer cases distributed in 8 other states as shown on this particular slide. Next, the 42 XDR cases have been split for analytic purposes into two time periods. First 6 years, or 1993 through 1999, and most recent 6 year interval from 2000 to 2006. During the first period, 65% were US born. Notice that in contrast, 75% reported in the most recent period were foreign born, reflecting the global reality right here in the United States. Keep And the if you look at the earlier time period, 50% were HIV infected compared to 10% of those reported in the most recent periods. You will see that a relatively large proportion had HIV status unknown in both time intervals, something we hope to change. When we look at the outcome of these individuals, 17 of 48 had died at diagnosis or during therapy, and median time to death was 45 days, with an average and range of days shown on the slide. Among persons with known outcome, 52% died, which we consider to be an unacceptably high case fatality rate for tuberculosis. In the next slide, I have depicted the findings from Latvia, where there's a center of excellence for treatment of persons with multidrug-resistant tuberculosis. The cluster in the bottom of the slide shows that cure rates for patients with MDR-TB was 65% compared with only 28% for persons who met the case definition for XDR-TB. As seen from the data provided, there's much reason for concern about the occurrence of both MDR and XDR-TB. From an individual and programmatic perspective, treatment requires 18 to 24 months instead of 6 to 8 months for persons with drug-susceptible TB. Relapse rates and case fatality rates are unacceptably higher in persons with drug-susceptible TB. Lack of effective therapy contributes to prolonged infectiousness, and reliance on more toxic second-line drugs is associated with common adverse events. Finally, hospitalization costs of XDR-TB can easily outstrip local health department TB program resources. Several factors have converged for XDR to emerge as a global public health threat. These include suboptimal TB control practices, high prevalence of both HIV and TB, and introduction of second-line drugs into low- and middle-income countries. In response, the World Health Organization and its partners have recently developed 7 action steps, which you're not going to see. The action plan emphasizes the essentials of proper TB control. We must stop the manufacture of drug-resistant tuberculosis. Other steps include, first, implement rapid representative surveys to determine the magnitude and extent of this problem. Second, the need to enhance lab capacity for diagnosis and drug susceptibility testing. The time has come to move beyond the smear microscopy as the sole basis of diagnosing tuberculosis in most countries of the world. Third, there's a need for improving the technical capacity of public health practitioners to diagnose and manage these patients, as well as to effectively respond to outbreaks. Fourth, infection control precautions are crucial to prevent transmission in settings where patients congregate, with special focus on persons living with HIV/AIDS. Fifth, increase support for research into new anti-tuberculosis drugs. There are at least 4 new compounds in the pipeline with in vitro activity against XDR-TB strains, and we must rapidly evaluate them for safety and efficacy. Six, we must evaluate new rapid and reliable diagnostic tests for the prompt detection of persons with XDR-TB. There are some developmental tests that are PCR-based where you could have results of drug resistance within a day or two. And seventh, we must not allow the fear of XDR-TB to undermine life-saving interventions for persons with HIV. The work that I present that represents the collaboration between several persons in the United States and throughout the world, and I had a slide acknowledging them, which you won't see. What I'll do is I'll make sure that you have access to my PowerPoint presentation subsequent to this session. Thank you for your attention.